This is RSBNB Update, episode 433, recorded October 3rd, 2013. King Shane the First. Hello, everybody, and thank you for sharing your time with us on this RSBNB update episode. All right, joining us this week, we have King Kulla.
Hello, everyone. Good to see you again.
He hasn't been on in ages. I think the last time he was on was when? Back in
August,
April.
And then before that, I think it was like March or something. So
okay.
It's been a while.
I forgot the August encounter. But
the still August has been encounter?
Yes. Anyways, Earth from Informer is also here, as with all the quest releases.
That's me. It's
yes,
me,
that is him. All right, so that means it's a quest release. This week, it's a quest that was, in my opinion, the wrong choice to make on the side of the players. I wanted the gnomes
what
to be
mean?
The one. I wanted the gnomes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Gnomes.
But anyways, it's the dwarves, and we'll work with what we got here. The quest is called Birthright of the Dwarves. So this is a Grandmaster quest, of course, signifying that it is the end of that specific series. So this is the whole series that started with the Red Axe and that little cart trail you can take from Varrock to the Keldegrim. And they're the kind that like smithing and everything like that. You'll remember.
Back in my day, there wasn't a cart at the Grand Exchange.
Oh, right.
You had to go on to Rice Mountain or White Wolf Mountain.
That was a very, very interesting voice you just had there. But, yes. Regardless, Birthright of the Dwarves, final entry in the Red Axe series. And it ends in that sort of way. We'll see what we all think of this in just a minute. But first...
Wait. What ends in that sort of way?
Well,
you mean that sort of way?
Well, the quest ends in that way. In that it was player chosen, and basically Jagex just said, yeah, whatever the player wants, we'll let it happen. So, that's kind of what happens there. But first, let's just go through a bit of a rundown of this quest. This quest has one of the highest requirements in game of 85 strength.
Is the 82, highest, actually.
Yeah, 82 smithing, and level 80 mining. And you were able to square all those away, right?
Yes, I thankfully was able to get the mining and smithing things before the quest was released.
Moving on from the requirements. Basically... Thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't ask for that. So this quest basically... I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, that's a Deus Ex thing. I'm sorry. It's a meme.
Okay.
Go on. You were talking
sorry
about dwarves,
overlord,
I believe.
Man.
Yes, I was. So, basically, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened in the previous quest. We basically stabilized the Red Axe, and the one loose end to tie up is... Heridmar? Is that how you would say that?
Rydmar? I don't
Rydmar?
Even know.
Or Reedmar, since your name is in there?
I don't get it. Please explain.
Okay. So, Reedmar and Grissom.
Reedmar?
Yeah, to Reedmar.
Maybe it's subliminal messaging to, you know, have Jagex improve literacy rates.
Improve literacy rates.
Rydmar? I don't know how to say dwarves' names.
Yeah, I don't know. But regardless,
I have to say, though, I did chuckle at the title, Veldeban's Plan. That just seems to work. I just like that. That rhymes.
Yes, anyways. It does. I like rhymes. All right, so we have Haridmor, or Haridmor, whichever you want to say, and Colonel Grissom. I mean, Grimson. I don't know where I got Grissom from. But
you just took out the M, Shane. That one's understandable.
Yeah, it's kind of like the ethnically suspect farmer episode.
Yeah, I think you had some subliminal messaging there you were trying to pass on to our listeners, but I saw right through it.
All right, so you got to deal with these two, and Veldeban wants to hunt them down before they cause any more trouble, and that's what all the quest deals with. So first and foremost, you need to do three things. You need to investigate what they're up to, and you do that in three ways. The first way is through questioning four suspected spies.
And Shane, yet again, reveals his ruthless side and doesn't do any investigating at all and just executes all of them. So, even though...
Technically, one that's the more efficient way of doing it, I guess.
Yeah, but it's obvious, Shane, you don't care about consequences, do you? Especially not the ending, right?
Oh, dear.
But one of them, only one of them, although I would argue two of them, should be executed. One of them should be exiled, and one of them's just innocent. Because there were two of them who were on Yatizo, and it's Natiz not, Shane. If you're gonna make references, you've got to do them correctly.
Okay.
They were on Jatizo, and one of them mentioned the Red Axe, and you interrogate both of them, and you ask why he'd mentioned the Red Axe, and their stories don't match. So I chose to execute one of them and just exile the second one, but you could have
executed them both.
Executed both of them, but those two are the only ones that, if you're doing it as instructed, should have been executed. And then another one is a tradesman who used to be a Red Axe spy, but once Veldeban took the throne...
Which one was that?
That was Vigor.
Okay, that's right.
Once Veldeban became king, the note ceased, so I just... because he admitted that he was a spy, but the Red Axe abandoned all of their agents in Keldegrim after Veldeban was crowned, so I just exiled him. And then Class, the guy in the Monarchist Society, is calling for people to overthrow Veldeban on the basis of him not being the rightful king. Mikey, the person that you worked with in the previous quest to change the records room, I let him... I didn't execute him or exile him. I just let him go, but I guess you could have exiled him. But that's the first step. And then... Yeah,
and I executed all four.
Ruthless bastard. You said you were going to let one of them go to be an example to the rest of the people.
Yeah, I misclicked.
Which were you going to let go?
Vigor.
Vigor. Oh, okay. Because he actually was one.
Oops.
Wait, but you just... No. He was, past tense, not is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's fine.
But then killed the innocent guy. You're strange, Shane.
Guilty until proven innocent, right, Shane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
Isn't that the way it is in France? You should go be a Frenchman.
Oh, no.
Oui, oui, monsieur. So the next part is the Taverly Chaos Dwarfs.
Oh, I can't do that. So in the Taverly Dungeon, there are a lot of Chaos Dwarfs, and Veldaban assumed that any Chaos Dwarf in Yulinor was created by the same process that the Red Axe used, and therefore must be linked to them. But you just go there, and there I don't quite remember what happened, but you kill a bunch of them, and then
Acadia the Exile.
I know what happened at the end. You just go there, kill a few Chaos Dwarves, and then you'll be approached by Acadia the Exile, who's leader of the Chaos Druids, and she says she has the information you're looking for, and to come speak to her at the Chaos Druid Circle. And she gives you the information if you beat her in a duel. She's not difficult at all to defeat.
Yeah, this was the easy one.
Yeah, this is really easy. She had, 10,000 life points or something?
Yeah, somewhere around there. One thing I found really interesting with her is that she numerous times referred to the player as having the most perfect aspect of Guthix inside of them.
Yeah, you remember that whole quest, The World Wakes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what happened at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you not think it's referring to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know it's obviously referring to that.
Okay.
I know it's referring to that, but I just thought it's good that they're tying these things in together like that.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
I bet you killed her too, didn't you?
No, I actually, she's the only one I let live.
I didn't kill her either, so. But once you defeat her, she'll tell you the stuff. Then you have the option to kill her or let her live.
Yeah. And then you also have the ability to go back and duel her again, I think, right?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was an option. I didn't do it. But tomato, and yeah. What?
Tomato?
Remember tomato cough to reset the auto-gain thing?
Why don't you just say cough?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you just randomly said tomato. That's going to be even stranger than just saying cough.
Is that better? Turn your head next time.
All right, so after the Chaos Dwarves, it's the Yanel Watchtower Wizard and using the Memory Wand. So we need to get this Memory Wand.
He's got to give you one first.
Yeah, we got to get it. And then we have a demonstration of how it works.
Now you have to calibrate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
And that's also a demonstration.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's what I took it as.
So you go into your own mind, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. And you go back to that scene in Forgettable Tale of a Drunken Dwarf before, the ogre shaman, erased your memory, and then you see what happened, and the wand will be calibrated, and Yeah, you remember everything. So then you go back to Veldivan once you've done all three of these things. And then you go attack.
Attack the Red Axe. And now this is where the quest gets interesting and unplayable for some people. Because did you feel any lag in this first part of the assault on the Red Axe?
Not really.
Okay, so this first part...
The first part being everything that we've talked about, or...
No, the first part being the part with the cannons.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't really have any lag. I mean, there was a bit of click, and then there was a second before something happened, but I just assumed that was normal RuneScape.
All right.
Was that the kind of lag people were having?
No, I think it was a lot worse, and it got worse after this part of dismantling the cannons, or rather sabotaging them, and then getting into the phase where we need to repair memories. I'll say this on the system here, the iMac, that normally handles RS without a problem, was very, very laggy, and almost unplayable to a degree if you were doing anything other than just walking around. So, it's safe to...
From a hardware analysis, what kind of graphics does it have?
Well, it's a 6970M AMD video card.
Okay, strange.
So it's
and
not
it was unplayable?
Bad. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the memory part was playable, but... It just wasn't the best experience for something
like
that
very
is
low
a Grandmaster
FPS,
quest. Yes. Low FPS and then choppiness from time to time. Like, for example, the best thing I can say is that combine a low FPS with some of the delay that you get when you move a map square. So that's kind of thing I was seeing
And this
on the
is
iMac.
Like every time you try to move.
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Wow. That's
yeah,
bad.
So I was actually going to do some video of this quest for supplemental, but I had to change computers to...
The Captain's Log supplemental?
Yes, that's right. I had to change computers to the actual gaming computer to play it in a decent form, so...
Yeah, because mine worked just fine. I have an AMD card too, but it's the 7950, so... I didn't notice any problems there. But
and apparently people were experience game crashes with this to a point where they had to play the game in safe mode.
That's
so
not good.
Yeah, so it was pretty widespread and not the typical polish we've come to expect with Grandmaster Quests and Quests in general. With RuneScape, because this thing wasn't even voice acted.
We aren't even to the worst part yet, I think.
Okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and say I was very disappointed with this quest. At least the state it is in at the moment of recording.
Me too.
The canon section, was I the only one who was really confused about what to do?
Because
we had to get across, but I literally had no idea how to do it. It was only by accident when I went over and stood by the pillar and it hit it that I realized, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I was running around looking for a lever or something.
Yeah, see, I looked up at a guide like that and it kind of made sense after that. But I can see how it would be if you weren't using a guide that you would have that sort of problem.
Yeah, I don't use... The way I do quests, I find it more fun, is I don't use a guide. I mean, since I do it almost always the day it's released nowadays, there aren't any guides. But I just find that it's more fun to do it without a guide. But the only time I do use a guide is if... Like Nomad. Nomad. I used a lot for Nomad. But the rest of the quest, I didn't really need to use any. I started that a couple years ago. I've liked it, but that's only because I care about the lore and stuff and figuring things out on my own. If you don't, then
Yeah,
not
then
only are you missing out, but
you are missing
it
out on
doesn't
a good
really mean
portion of what the
anything
quest
to
is.
you. So,
Exactly.
but once you figure out what to do and you get across and destroy the cannons and then you confront Grimson, he runs away and Valdaban runs after him, and then you, the calm and logical person, pull the lever to raise the bridges so the army can follow you.
That was funny.
And then
Then you have to repair some more memories.
then you have
And
to
this
repair
is a
Valdaban.
really, really, really laggy part.
Yeah, again, I didn't have any trouble with it, but I didn't have trouble with lag throughout any of it. But basically, the mine part on, there's really bad lag for
Yes.
people. Okay. Well, I don't think we need to mention it every single section, but after the
Use a
mine
good
part,
computer
it's
if you're going to
really
be doing this
bad.
quest.
Yeah, or go into safe mode, but
You actually can't go into safe mode until you crash. So, kind of a bad thing there, but regardless. So tell us about repairing memories.
You have to repair Veldibun's memories, because of course it was at the end of Forgettable Tale of a Drunken Dwarf where his was wiped too, right?
I don't know, I don't remember that.
I think it was,
I
because
was
I did
talking with
that.
Lord Rickles, and we said that memories being wiped apparently work with the player too, because there's both things that we didn't remember.
Yeah, that was the whole end of Forgettable Tale of a Drunken Dwarf. Because remember, you just wound up in the Laughing Miner pub and you're drinking and beer and stuff and kebab. Then there's just that weird cutscene. But I don't remember when Valdaban's memory was wiped.
I don't know. See, it's a memory thing that's
Maybe forgiveness of a chaos dwarf?
coffee.
Yeah, that's when Valdaban came in. So yes, it was forgiveness of a chaos dwarf when his was wiped. Because he wasn't even in the other two, the first two, right? Yeah,
I
I
don't
don't
know.
think it was.
I don't remember this
Well,
part.
we'll just move on. And you also have to repair Grimson's memory, and also Hreidmar's memory, which was interesting. Because Hreidmar
Thought he was
thought
talking to
that he was
Zamorak.
talking to Zamorak, which, wait, is Hreidmar the, he's the director of the Red Axe and the main villain, but he thought
Yes.
he was talking, what?
Thought he was talking to Zamorak.
But why?
I don't know. I mean, that's the
Okay,
thing with this
that is a very
quest.
big plot hole, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing with this quest. I mean, not polished performance-wise, not voice acted. Just throw the cards up and let the players do what they want, and this hole right here.
If his memory got messed up and he thought he was talking to Zamorak, but he wasn't. But he's the one who tricked the ogre into thinking that the ogre was dying and that he, Hreidmar, had saved him. So Grunch, the shaman, was loyal to him. Who changed Hreidmar's memory?
I have
What?
no idea.
Okay, am I mixing something up here?
I don't know. I don't remember the older quests like that, so I can't tell you if you're 100% but wrong, but that... I am kind of agreeing with you.
Okay, just looking at the article on Hreidmar, it says that additionally Hreidmar had obtained the support of an ogre shaman that was found nearly dead on Troll Ice Mountain, and using the shaman's magical abilities, he had erased the memories of those that discovered his plot. But... There is nothing in here that makes... Okay. I don't think I can express any more disappointment in the plot holes in this quest. Unless I am mistaken. And if I am mistaken, please, someone come to the forums and post on the topic, because I would like to know if I'm wrong. But
yeah, because if you're right...
This does not make sense.
It seems like a major issue if you're right.
This is a very major issue, because if we calibrated the wand so that and counteract the ogre shaman's memories, then the ogre shaman would have had to have used his magic on Hreidmar for the wand to work. But he didn't. And even if he did, why would he leave that memory for him?
I don't know, I'm confused at this point.
Okay. Well... I think the decision I made with what? Let's move on.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's just do that and say that after you repair these memories, all you need to do
even though it doesn't make sense, you have to go fight Grimson and Hreidmar. And Grimson you have twice. To kill And Shane, since you've done this part, I just stopped the quest for multiple reasons. One, I had to drive 5 hours home, and I needed to go to class and pack. That was one reason, and I made the decision a few minutes ago that with this quest in the state that it's in, I'm not going to finish it until it gets fixed. So Shane, I'll let you explain the ending.
After you repair these memories, you have to kill Hreidmar and Grimson twice. The first time you fight Grimson, it's really simple. He's just got lots and lots of life points, and you do need to keep Veldaban alive while you do this. So
yeah, I attempted that fight. Veldaban just died. I still had a bow, so I couldn't kill him fast enough. And
okay.
Don't worry, it just pops you outside, and you have to do it again.
Yeah. So with this one, I would recommend that you take a high-level melee weapon or some sort of high-level magic, if possible. Melee works, just smack the guy to death. He has no weakness, so that works fine. One way to keep attention on you is to use the provoke ability that will basically force his attention
that's
to focus
the aggro
on you.
Thing, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So that's very important for keeping yourself the target so that your Veldaman companion can actually stay and live, because if that's the case, what poorly executed 4 times in Shane's case?
Patrick and I were talking in the Skype chat about how reading through the quest, it looks cool, but it was poorly executed. But in Shane's case, it was poorly executed 5 times on those 4 dwarves, right, Shane?
Yes.
Also, I have a join. Oh, wait, this is on the computer. I'm dumb. Never mind.
I was reading through, and it just seems so cool. Like, you get to investigate all these, you know, different factions and what they're thinking, and seeing, you know, rooting out the dissidents, that sort of thing, and, like, trying to make everything right again. And then there's just all these problems that you guys are describing. It's like, oh, it seems like they're ruining it somehow. It looks like it would be, like, a really good quest.
Yeah, it would have been, and it should be. It is the finale to this entire series. And I didn't notice any of those issues until just now, when we were discussing it. So
yeah, so, I mean, there's that. And then there's the whole mechanics of this second boss fight. After you take out Grimson for the first time, that's the easy part. Now comes the hard part. I'm not a fan of the way RuneScape does combat, with the low tick rate and everything, and how you're basically waiting for server responses for everything. So that's one side of things, but that's not new. The second thing about this boss battle is that you have summoning that's been a skill since 2008, but you're not allowed to use summoning on this NPC for some silly reason. I have no idea why this limit was put in place, but people have level 90 plus 99 summoning. Let them use their summoning levels on quests, because if you're not letting them use summoning on quests, you are invalidating this whole skill in the game. And I'm a believer that skills should work together, whether it be on a quest or with other skills. And if you have a quest where you can't summon an NPC familiar to help you, what's the point of the summoning skill? So that's another major complaint about this quest.
So you went in there and you tried to bring...
Unicorn.
What, some Titan with you? Unicorn to heal you? Okay.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
That's right.
What did it... Did it just not work, or did it give you a message you can't summon?
It says you are not allowed to summon things in this instance, or something similar like that.
Did you summon it before, or
no,
did you walk in there and then try to summon it? Okay.
That was on my second try, and I didn't need a third try. So would have done it before if that was the case. The second time around, it's a little bit more complex, and all you need to do is take Haridmor and Grimson, and there's two doors on each of the buildings, and you basically take one of them out in one building, run through and get them stuck outside, and then put the other one on the other side and handle them one at a time. You can take out either one first.
I love the RuneScape way of doing things. The AI is just wonderful, isn't it, Shane?
Yeah, it follows you, then you get him stuck behind a door.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. There's one picture, where you get... Well, let's move on.
What's this? Taking him out for the first time is easy. The second date, that's hard?
We're talking about Grissom, I believe. Or Grimson.
Grimson.
Did anyone look at the quest page under the rewards section and took a look at the Chaos Giant and look and see how weird it actually looks?
Oh yeah, like, we've known that.
Yeah,
we've known that since the quest was released.
Since they gave that.
But his left arm is bigger than his legs. Like,
I haven't seen him actually in game. Okay.
Yeah, but weird. Back to the boss battle. The second time after getting them stuck out in various areas, Haridmor is the more difficult one that you need to be careful of. I would recommend that you use a high level ranged attack or a high level magic attack, just so that you can stay at a distance and have more note for when things are going to happen. There's only a couple things that I need to mention regarding this. You do want a high-level food, so Rocktail or better is good. And then always keep a stun available, because these creatures will use an attack on you where they will try and close the distance. So if you can stun him, when they're about to get to their full adrenaline level, you'll be a lot safer. Then the only thing with Haridmar to note is that you need to do high damage to him periodically, so he will heal up if you do not successfully do high damage to him. So it means that you need to use a high-level threshold or an ultimate in order to do this kind of damage to him. With magic, Asphyxiate worked really well, combined with Rack, I think it was. So it's basically just chaining these abilities back and forth and taking him down all the way and keeping him stunned when he gets to full adrenaline. Soul Split is, of course, useful, but if you don't have that, the Vampirism aura would be good to bring along as well. Moving back to Grimson, once again, this is just another simple fight. Just make sure that you're far enough away and that you stun him when he's going to go full adrenaline, because he will charge at you. And this will cause damage on the order of about 2 to 2.5k per second. And if you're not careful, it can kill you rather quickly. Yes.
So it just... How long does it damage you?
Well, every second you get about 2.5 or 2k damage. So if you have 7,000 or 8,000 life points, you got about 3 seconds to live.
Oh, and it probably does it like 5, right?
What do you mean 5?
For 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. So, didn't have enough life points to check annoying. That.
Very annoying.
Yeah, but after this, you've pretty much completed the quest. There are a series of choices that you can make. If you do not like spoilers as to how this is going to end, skip ahead 5 minutes in this recording. All right.
Well, I hope they change the whole thing anyway.
Well, there are three choices. First things first, you can let Veldaban continue to rule as king. That's choice number one. Choice number two is to not let him rule as king. And then, from this choice, you have three options. There's two different trees that can go. First things first, you can just let him live peacefully. And the second option is you can execute him. They were very big on that.
You can, wait, say you can execute, you can let who live or execute?
Veldaban.
Yeah.
You can either let him live or you can just kill him.
Wait, so what were the first things you were saying? Because as I said, I haven't finished it.
He's either king or he's not king.
Okay, and if he's not king, then you get the choice of whether to kill him or let him live. Okay, what happens correct. To him if, well, I guess you killed him, right?
Yes, which is a horrible choice. Very horrible choice. Because if you kill him...
So can you explain what the options... I think you should do that one last for no reason whatsoever. But what happens... So if you just let him be king, he's king, right?
Correct.
And he's still a Chaos Dwarf, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing is, the reason why it pops up as an option to kill him... or to not let him rule as king, is because he doesn't think he's able to rule as a Chaos Dwarf.
Yeah, did you mention that he got turned into one?
No, I didn't, but
that okay, is well, he gets turned into a Chaos Dwarf at some point during the final battles. And he... Well, you just explained it.
Yeah. So... If you choose to let him live as king, that's fine. Story ends, happy as ever. If you choose him not to live as king, you can either kill him or just let him live peacefully, not as king. Now, if you decide that he's not the king, you have two options for this choice. That is either to let the Red Axe Consortium rule, or...
Wait,
one
the
I
Red
chose.
Axe Consortium?
No, not the Red Axe Consortium. Their little group thing.
Oh, okay, so just the consortium.
Yeah, the consortium. That's okay. Right. So you can let them rule, or you can do what I did, which is very foolish and not the best thing to do. Well, You can crown the rightful heir, and the rightful heir is somebody we've all experienced in the past, and that is the drunken dwarf. King of Kelvigrim.
Apparently it is King Drunken Dwarf the Third.
Yes.
Which means there's been two previous drunken dwarfs as kings.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of like King Henry, isn't it?
What?
Wouldn't it be like King
Meaning
Henry?
That there are lots of them?
No. I mean, just that a drunken dwarf is king. It's kind of like King Henry and all the people that he beheaded.
Right.
You mean King Henry VIII and his inability to produce
a
male heir?
King Shane the First executing just everyone they could in this quest?
I mean, I'm sure he just gave me a nightmare just by uttering the words King and Shane next to each other.
Glorious.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't. Because that would mean that Canada has reduced itself to a political system that is not good for the 21st century.
Why?
Oh, come on. It's not good to have an absolute monarchy in this day and age.
We do.
Yeah, look at Obama, right? King Obama, right?
Obama, the absolute monarch who's able to get through, done whatever he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
The sad thing is, some people are still saying that. I don't understand why.
All right. So that's the end of the quest.
And I'm just going to go ahead and apologize for the very, 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 very confused explanation of this quest. But, hey, Shane, am I accurate in saying that this is literally the best we can do with what we were given?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
given the technical issues and that little plot hole you discovered, bang on.
Little?
Well,
I'd call that pretty big.
Alright.
We need to fix Pridemar's memory. Why? Because we need to fix his memory. Shut up. It just... As I said, I'm not going to finish this quest until these errors are fixed.
Well, would you like to know what the rewards are?
Yes, I will read those.
Well, your name's Reed.
What? True. Was that a true or false thing? Because, yes, true. Correct. What? I don't understand why you said that.
All right.
Can you explain, please?
No, it's okay. Rewards.
Okay. Two quest points, 100,000 mining experience, 100,000 smithing experience, 200,000 strength experience, 30 rune adamant and mithril bars, the ability to fight chaos giants in the cave, the Barrandir caves, access to 3 new dragon weapons, which is another thing that irks me, the dragon and offhand dragon throwing axes, dragon battle staff, and dragon and offhand dragon warhammers. This is what, like 3 years too late?
Yeah.
Good. Dragon weapons are irrelevant now, right?
And you know, that's why they said they put these in the store, is because people only want them for their looks now.
Yeah.
So it's for the RP folk. What? It's for the RP folk.
Wait, who said that they only like them for their looks now?
That Reddit link that Adiv posted on RuneWire today, there was a thing about about dragon weapons.
Interesting. And
that's
the
Jagex
people
way.
the Jagex people responded and said that.
Yep, they said, given the inherent weaknesses in them, they thought it was better to offer them at a store.
Instead of a drop?
Yep.
Wow. And then you also have access to the lava geyser and the lava flow mine, and you can get in the Mkondo pickaxe. You can get the fragments of those. And then I guess you're going to have to talk to Thurgo, I bet. Yes! You have to go. It's a gilded dragon pickaxe. And you go to Thurgo to get him to fix it up for you. There are four fragments.
And you give him a million GP.
And you have to have a gilded dragon pickaxe already.
And
you have to bring in the four parts, a gilded dragon pickaxe, 1 million coins, and a red berry pie, of course. And he'll fix it up for you. This is just like the Inferno adds. It has a 1/4 chance of incinerating the ore. For the experience equivalent to smelting that ore. That's cool. Plus the mining experience. That's cool. And you can get it to do. You can get bonus experience, it seems.
Yeah, you get a bit of bonus experience when you mine with it.
Yeah, but you can get even more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when first made, it has 100 enchantment points. Every time you mine something with it successfully, it grants 20% additional mining experience at the cost of one enchantment point. So this stacks with other experience boosts. I'm not sure how that works, but that's weird.
All right. I want to wrap this part of the quest up because we've already been discussing this little quest. Well, not little, but
an hour, right?
Oh. Yes. So
sorry, guys.
Let's move on a bit, please. I don't exactly like the way this quest ended. I think that we could have brought a better ending to this thing rather than just, of course, just ending the rat ass like we knew was going to happen.
So in the state it is right now, it is a 2 out of 5, hoping and praying that they'll fix it.
All right.
If they never fix it, it is a 1 out of 5.
So sad for a Grandmaster quest.
Yes, this is very, very disappointing.
With that being out of the way, let's talk about the Battle of Lumbridge.
Wow,
which was also disappointing.
Yeah, it was weird. So, of course, Ceridoman won. So Zamorak, Ceridoman's power overwhelmed Zamorak and he was knocked down and he appeared weak and then got teleported away by one of his generals. And then Ceridoman teleported away.
Gone.
And that was literally it.
10 minutes. I mean, not 10 minutes. 10 weeks. 10 week battle for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that Zamorak is very weak, and I didn't expect them to just kill him off.
Quickly.
Well, you also just executed 4 people without even thinking about it. So, your concepts of life and death are clearly already warped.
In the era of TV shows where half a cast can die in a season, same thing they did way back when on 24, like, they had no problem killing off cast members there. Same thing on the Dome this year, they killed off lots of cast members there too, so, I mean, why don't we kill some cast members off of the RuneScape lore?
And it's not
but you can't exactly introduce new ones easily.
It's not exactly like they don't have a precedent and, killing off a god anyways, so it wouldn't be exactly unheard of at this point. It would be.
Yeah, exactly. They could do like the Klingons and slay their gods, and then we could talk about it for 10,000 years.
Or an hour, right?
Hour in, and he brings up Star Trek. That's not bad, Reed.
Wait, what?
I said it's only been an hour in, and he just brought up Star Trek now. That's a pretty good length of time.
Yeah, we're proud of you, Shane.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So that's
but I don't think the reason I don't think they killed him off is because while you did say that TV shows they do that all the time, but they introduced different characters, right?
Well, no. Well, yeah, I guess.
Or sort of. You can't exactly replace a god in such a small thing like this.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I mean, there's lots of other gods to still go around. They could promote some of the lesser gods to full gods.
But that's not how it works.
It's a fantasy game. Anything can happen.
But it's not that kind of fantasy game, eh?
All right.
Okay. Anyway. So, Lumbridge is just in ruins still. Zamorak got teleported away, and he's, I guess, weaker, and Sarah Doman just teleported away, like, okay, whatever.
Do you think they'll create a new skill out of this and call it rune crafting? Maybe you can rebuild Lumbridge?
Or construction. Maybe this is going to be the construction
update. I like
rune
crafting better.
Oh, I didn't get what you said. I thought you just said rune crafting.
No, that's the joke. Ruin crafting.
Okay.
All right. So,
why'd you remove the link?
Because we're not going to go through that. We're already behind time.
Okay, well, apparently there were lots of
tweaks and fixes.
There were a couple.
You have to read for yourself.
Yep.
So I'm very long-winded.
I like pointing out the odd ones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could do that, but we'd have to cut something else out.
You could probably go through the whole discussion thing and trim it down a bit.
I don't like editing like that. Last time I did that, I had incoherent talking going on.
Well, that's probably all it was anyway, right?
Yeah, it could be. Anyways, you can now earn divination XP from lamps, minigames, and other activities. So if you've been saving up lamps, you can use them on divination now.
Woo! Oh, we didn't mention something else. You can now get the armors from Battle of Lumbridge as drops and God.
Oh God! This.
Yes.
Yes. This is another thing that's bad.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time and effort to just get the armor. And apparently you can get it now, but you can't get the emotes or the titles.
You know what's worse?
What?
Apparently at the beginning of Battle of Lumbridge, they said this was going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Has anyone found where they said it?
I don't know. You can go back 10 weeks and find a thing about that, but apparently that is what the original news posting about Battle of Lumbridge said. So, that's kind of oopsie on our part there, Reed.
Damn it.
So, you can get the God Wars, or you can get the
okay,
armor from
I
the
guess,
God Wars.
I guess I can't be mad at Jagex now.
Yeah, you can get the armor from, from the God Wars.
That's fair.
Anyways, I want to move on to behind the scenes for the month of October. Everyone good with that?
Yes.
All right. So the Lumbridge Rebuild-a-thon is the holiday event for October. Sadly, there's no Halloween event. But get who this event is led by. This is the group of local builders led by... You guys ready for this?
The Drunken Dwarf?
No. Led by Foreman George. Foreman George.
Did you mean George Foreman, Shane?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay.
At least it's not Red Foreman.
Who is that?
I don't get it.
Oh, you guys never watched that 70s show?
No.
Oh. Well, I hope someone got that out there in our listeners.
The fact that this show is just going to be a bunch of obscure references that no one else is going to get.
Yeah, let's call it throwing fish out and hoping someone will grab them.
Yeah, if we make enough of them, someone will get them. Okay.
All right, so basically, exactly, and that's what you're going to be doing with Lumbridge this month.
Nice segue. So
you're going to be dismantling the abandoned war camps. You're going to need to gather the materials to for the reconstruction effort. You'll get XP. You'll get Explorer Jack's hat. And there's a title for members as well.
Oh, boy. I love those.
Yep. I wonder if we can move our magic tree back.
Where'd it go? It's gone. I can move my magic tree. It's gone.
For anybody who doesn't know what Earth is talking about.
I was on Skype with Shane when Battle of Lumbridge came out, and he went apeshit because his magic tree disappeared. And that is exactly how he sounded, believe it or not. My tree is gone! Where'd it go?
All right.
That's a pretty good impression
Speaking of trees, it just happened this way. Elder and crystal trees are coming this month.
Good segue.
You're so good at that, Shane.
Basically, these are high level trees requiring level 90 wood cutting at 90 for the elder tree, and crystal trees at level 94, which is at level 94. And these trees basically come around and they give the best woodcutting XP, so apparently this will be better than ivy. And the thing is you can make new short bows and shield bows with them. So that's pretty
nice. Wait, you can make crystal bows now?
No, short bows and
Oh no, these are just with the elder ones.
Yeah.
You know, the ones.
Elder short bows.
The level 90 ones at level 90.
Yeah. There's that. And with the crystal ones, they don't get fully cut down, but the crystal formations that sprout up around them
give the are good best for woodcutting XP rates in the game when shattered. You'll need to hunt them down, though. There are a few nice surprises for elven-eyed players to spot along the way, and the chance to break off a crystal geode, which can contain valuable gems, crystal seeds, or crystal triskelions? Meth? How do you say that?
Triskelions? Triskelions?
What is that, Shane?
Triskelions.
What is that?
Those are those things that are basically the sequester to the crystal key that you get for the dragon stones.
I think I understood about half of those words there.
Yeah.
The sequester for the crystal key that you get.
Okay.
So you remember how you get the crystal key? The two half key pieces, you put them together and you get a crystal key?
Yeah.
This is the sequester for those.
I'm just going to nod and say okay, and let's move on.
All right.
Because you're going to make me... Oh, I can't even... Make a reference to Siren.
You're going to make him pretty rangy, aren't you? Oh, and speaking of ranging, looks like there's new Ranger gear coming out.
Called the Sirenic armor?
Yeah. I mean, so this is level 90 ranged gear. Basically going to be dropped, and you'll make it using crafting at level 90 to 93. So this is going to be armor that is not obtainable through bossing. So this is something that I said the game needs for quite some time, is some high-level gear that's available, not through the PVM system.
Good.
So I'm happy about this. We'll have to get Trekkie to have a look and see what's going on with these, since he is our crafting person at 99.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome.
And there's also a quest... Missing,
he's
presumed
not dead,
death.
By the way. Trekkie just wasn't able to come this week. And speaking of dead, the next quest is called Missing Presumed Death. Death, or the Grim Reaper, who is a servant of Guthix, has disappeared. It's time to find out what Death has been up to. Has he been deathnapped, or is he taking a welcome break after the death of his god, Guthix? And Ichthoran, the god of the underworld, the deserty guy, he's trying to take his place. And apparently this isn't a bad thing, but there was a massacre in the hills near Paterdomus Temple, which is that one east of Iraq, and Ichthoran can't keep up. And this mystery takes many grave twists and turns and goes far beyond your traditional whodunit. It's Rizutli's sixth age, so expect several gods to feature as the mystery of Death's disappearance is unraveled. Hey, and
that's
this will be fully voice acted, and there are famous characters, large, graphically lush environments, and unique high-level rewards and death animations.
So, who do you think these famous characters will be? Like Clint Eastwood?
Sean Connery. Clint Eastwood. Will the chair be coming as well?
Oh, that was an excellent piece. That's got to be there. And it's so true. Yeah, it's so true. That's what happened.
So you didn't think he was batshit insane when he was doing that?
No, I love that. Anyway,
I bet you wish he executed it too, don't you?
Speaking of executing differently, executing, it looks like there's something to do with ghosts here.
If you're not wearing your ghost speak amulet, I don't need one. Not anymore. But you're rattling change and screaming out for your Halloween fix this month, then head to Solomon's General Store. Yay.
All right.
And they're also bringing back the Golden Chinchamba.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, it said featuring two back. New iconically 80s zombie dancing. I thought it said ironically 80s zombie dancing. I'm like, why, how would it be ironic?
Unknown. But so I'm guessing Thriller and...
Oh, please no.
What other one, Patrick?
I don't know. 80s zombie dancing. That's
Thriller was 80s though, right?
Oh yeah, that was quintessential 80s right there.
I don't know what the other one is, but I would bet that it's going to be Thriller and something else.
Didn't the zombie dance emote used to be the Thriller dance?
Yes, it did. Yeah. Wait, they changed it? That's...
Did they or did they not? They used to have a really good one, and then they kind of messed it around and it kind of turned bad.
I did something bad.
Did you not record?
No, I did record, but I had the wrong audio input selected.
So is everything useless?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay.
So it wasn't Reed's fault that they were recording.
Oh, what? Shame? Shame?
What's going on?
Do it again!
What's going on?
I'm bored, right? See? We're gonna have some fun. Mikhail, go get the guns.
Are you okay?
Yep. Apparently this is the Gangnam Style zombie dance.
It's also very loud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, I was just looking for the zombie dance.
Oh, God. What on earth did you find? Oh my goodness. I thought we were being trolled. But shit.
Me too.
You finally did it. Oh dear.
What did I do?
Oh, I selected the wrong input and then you switch it.
Yeah, then it's video.
And that's funny.
Oh. So is your input fixed?
What?
Is your input fixed?
Yes.
Okay. Oh. I don't think that was the 80s zombie task we were thinking of. Oh. But thank you for that. That was funny. That's good. I think that's it for behind the scenes, correct?
Yes, that is. And in case you're wondering why Cull is winded, look forward to the clip show.
Oh no, you're not editing that out. You can't edit that out.
Edit that out. That was funny.
That was good.
Well, I thought it was an actual zombie dance.
Yeah, and Thriller.
We had no idea what you were doing.
Oh, remind me to show you the Michael Jackson Thriller dance sometime, Shane.
When
oh,
we
you're going
to
do
RSVNB
it.
Meetup,
I'm
going to
myself. I'm not that good at dancing.
we can attempt it, Patrick. Okay, moving on.
Speaking about bonds, I hear there are some things bonds coming up.
Yes, just a little bit of an update about last week's bonds. These are some statistics that were given out by Jagex. Hard to know, of course, this is the full depth of the statistics they can give out or will give out, but Earth had expressed a concern about this earlier in the week. So first off,
yeah.
Wealth injected by gold farmers had dropped by 81%. Quantity of real-world trades would drop by 61%, and volume of wealth real-world traded has dropped by 63%.
Now, my concerns with this was the sample size. I don't know how much trading there was. That's not what I mean. But the time frame, it has been 1 week. You can't do something significant like this and expect what's going on a week later to be the continuing trend.
Yeah, and this is probably just an uptick like many of their other anti-real world trading or anti-bot.
Although I
measures.
Do understand why they posted this, because I don't think it would be a good idea if they just implemented bonds and then were silent about it.
Yep.
So
yep.
Meh.
Anyways.
Although the stats that do are meaningful, 3,500 bonds gifted to other players, 10,000 free-to-play players use bonds to become members. Over 800 years of membership has been redeemed via bonds. And those are, what, 2 weeks each, right?
Yep, that's right.
So that's, what, 26 times 800?
Huh?
52 weeks in a year, but if each one gives you two, then there's only you would only need 26 to get 1 year of membership. So
right,
that's
right.
20,800 bonds redeemed for membership. So that's good. And apparently
that
over
by
10,000. Wait, why
so
by
that's $104,000 right there.
Oh, okay. And apparently about half of those, over half of those were free-to-play players, it seems. So, cool.
Yep.
3 million rune coins, 13 billion GP sunk into bonds retrade tax. Now that's cool. And almost 10% of the tickets sold for RuneFest have been purchased using bonds.
That's so nice
cool.
that they're doing this.
We've also
seems
heard
like
some...
it's working, right?
Yeah, it does. I love the idea that with a few hours dedicated gameplay to make money, players can pay for their next chunk of membership and continue doing that without having to buy real money at all, said Mod Pips.
Yeah. I mean, just cool. this side of the equation of being able to give stuff away and being able to get people membership with in-game money.
I like that.
That's really the touching side of the things for me, and it's a much-needed update, in my opinion, for how they're going to do combating this in the future. So overall, I think it's been a good decision so far. Hopefully the rest of the community will come to realize this at some point.
Yeah. Hopefully it continues, though.
Yep.
Gotta say that first.
All right. And then we just got some
fan art from
the community roundup.
There's some cookies that have the runes on them. Some Torva armor that apparently weighs a mighty 83 pounds and took over 3 months to create. A couple
looks
of events.
Cool,
Above the Lore podcast. And they're asking about a RuneScape mobile app. So, okay.
I said the Grand Exchange.
Oh. Huh?
I said the Grand Exchange for the RuneScape mobile app.
Oh, okay. We'll go through the poll. Which feature would you like most in a RuneScape mobile app? Friends chat, clan chat, grand exchange, squeal of fortune, offline messaging, forums, or news? I'd like offline messaging and the clan chat.
Yeah,
I found it interesting that out of these seven options, squeal of fortune is number five, and... 5% say the forums and 5% say the news, but if you, there's still an RSS feed for it, right? Or are mm-hmm. people can just navigate to it on a web browser, so that's understandable.
See, the thing with making forums or news on an iOS application, that would be really simple to do. The news one, you could slipstream that in right away. Using the built-in web views and whatnot.
RSS reader, right?
Yeah. The
and
forums, you could...
Grand Exchange
you don't need it.
Place is a little difficult to navigate even on the... even on a real computer sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not surprised that
but
that's
the thing
it...
is... I took it as Grand Exchange, as in that means Grand Exchange that you can buy and sell items
buy
from.
Sell. That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
if you can send, if you can, I assume Squeal of Fortune is also spins.
Yeah.
So.
Portable gambling device.
Oh, hush.
Anyways, if they really want to do forums and news for mobile, what they need to do is they just need to simply take this great website that they produced, which I actually wrote an article about last week, which you can read at informer.rsbn.com.
Nice advertising.
You can just take this great website and make it responsive so that it views properly on a phone. That's really all there is to doing forums and news on a mobile device. It's not that hard. Certainly don't need an app for that. But we are well beyond the time we should have taken to discuss this week's RS updates. And I'd like to thank Kola for being here and discussing it with us, even though he doesn't play RS.
Well, I try. Okay. I'd miss you guys too much if I was away from the podcast too much.
Okay, you know. Moving on to questions.
I'll take the first one. From Techers D, what did you guys think of Sarah Doman's abandonment of Lumbridge? I personally found it very odd that he arrived in Lumbridge to protect it from Zemrak and then decided to leave without a word immediately after Zemrak is whisked away. I think it reinforces the argument that Sarah Doman doesn't really care at all about his followers and is therefore no better than Zemrak, really. Or am I just crazy? Cheers, Techers D. Well, I think we discussed that a lot earlier. Yes.
Yeah. I just want to say that we would like him to care, but these gods probably have a thing of not wanting to interfere too much in the real world.
Because
look how long
it
took for
that.
Sarah Doman and Zemrak to come back.
Perhaps now that he feels
Sarah
like the
Doman
danger is
came
gone.
In literally the second Guthix died.
Yep.
And that was the first second he was able to come back. So I disagree with that. I think they are trying to influence the world again. But I'm not sure why Zemrak had to do some weird portal thing. And Sarah Doman just popped in. I guess because they banished him somewhere. That's
but the question is, going back to when this all started, what was the point of the portal and who set it up if Zemrak, Jesus me, was banished?
Say that again?
What was the point of the portal if he was banished? How did that help him get back? Rather, how did he have the portal set up for him?
Well, it was either his followers or he was doing it somehow. I mean, magic and God. You can't apply logic
anything
there. Anything can happen. Yep. This is a fantasy game, right, Shane?
That's right.
Okay. All right, are we good with that one?
Yeah, I'm good. We pretty much discussed it earlier, but I don't agree with his abandonment of Lumbridge, and the entire end of the Battle of Lumbridge was really much less than I anticipated happening.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Next
and Shane,
one is from
you can take this one, because economics.
All right. Next one is from Marumska. Hello, guests and host. Marumska here. Feeling lazy, so I'm just going to type this one up. Here it goes. Interesting to see bond prices decreasing on the GE. Do you think that the trade tax is a bit of a deterring factor? Or do you think that the idea of bonds has sunk into the community? And also, how often should you clean your keyboard? As I only recently cleaned my PC keyboard, which was just covered in over 5 years of dust and grime. Thank you very much. And what have you done with your old electronic devices? I made my first PC's case into a leg rest. We'll be back next time with an audio cue. Marumska out.
Just to answer the second part, that's very interesting, because I was attempting to clean mine last week, but I don't have any compressed air. And there was a lot of dust and stuff in there, and I was really surprised how much was under there.
Oh yeah.
So you should probably clean it out quite a bit.
Once every couple months. I've had mine
a couple years, so oops.
Yeah, once every couple months is good. One thing you can do is just get the compressed air. And if it's not a fancy keyboard, that means it doesn't have lights in it under the keys or anything like that. One of the good ways of doing it is that
mine does.
If it doesn't have those, is if it's a keyboard like mine that's just nice and basic, unlike these twos, all you need to do is put it in the dishwasher for a cycle.
I'm still not sure if you're serious about that.
Oh yeah, I'm dead serious. You put it in the dishwasher, and you just got to make sure you let it air out for long enough so that when you plug it in, it doesn't fry itself.
So what do you do with the USB thing at the end?
It's okay, because that part has to just dry out as well.
Okay, do you take a hair dryer to it or something?
No, you can hang it outside and do it.
Hang it on the clothesline.
I don't really know if I can advocate for putting a keyboard in the dishwasher, but
yeah, that's a little I'm sure weird.
There's a better way to do it. But who knows? If it works for you, then where it works you for you.
No, I haven't exactly tried it, but I've heard that it works wonders. I know Paul has tried it, so we'll ask him next time he's on the show.
Okay, if Paul's tried it, then I understand.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll let you take the first part, Mr. Economics guy.
Well, we should get Cole to answer first about his keyboard.
Oh, well, I just got mine like last year, and it seems to be pretty good so far. Like, I'm keeping the surface clear, but underneath there, I can't really tell, and I don't even know how to open up my keyboard, to be honest. It's a Razer Black Widow, so I have no idea how to do that. So I'm sure I'll have to figure it out somehow, but it still seems to be working fine, which is good.
Well, I thought mine was too, but then I took out some of it, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, but I think mine's actually working fine, so who knows?
Okay.
I don't really eat over it. I just use it and then put it back under my desk so the dust kind of stays off of it. So it's mostly clean. It's just accumulation of dust from my room, which usually gets dusty anyways. Just kind of what happens to my old electronic devices. Just sits in the corner and that gets all dusty before I throw it away like 5 years later.
All right. Now, bond prices in the exchange. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you were thinking about it and you were wanting to make money off these bonds, that's the first thing you would do. And so the trade tax is what is preventing people from truly merchanting these things, which is, of course, what Jagex sought to prevent. So I completely agree with that idea that the trade tax is preventing that from happening. And I have a feeling that the majority of bonds being bought are not for GP. Because if you think about it, with all the numbers out there for Squeal of Fortune and spins and whatnot, if you want GP and experience, you might as well just go for the Squeal spins on the bond option rather than just buying the GP with the bond. Because bond prices have gone down ever since they came out, and, you know, you can purchase them, but really, how much are you going to purchase? So I don't think that the vast majority of the people out there are using bonds for GP. I think they're using it for other purposes. Like right now, the bond price has decreased to 8.1 million, started out at just over 11. So just the fact that not going down means people aren't selling them on the exchange. They're using them primarily. Because the idea is if you can't sell them for a higher price, people will just go lower and lower and lower. And then that demand will always be there for things to buy. So trade tax merchanting, definitely good thing.
A lot of them on the market and there are too many. Could that also be it?
Yeah, that could be it as well. But I think if that's the case, we wouldn't see the prices going down as fast as they have gone down.
Okay.
So, like I said, the trade tax is definitely a deterring factor, and that needed to be there for this to work. So, I mean, it would be nice to know how many of these are being sold for GP, but I don't think we're going to get that number from Jagex. So, with the number going down, I think that it's a demand-driven market at this point rather than a supply-driven market. Hope that answers the question. Anyways, thank you, Maremska. Carla, next one.
Sure, take the next one. Dear hosts, do you think that there will ever be any choices in the game that the player will be able to make that actually matter? Jagex has been stressing this with a new quest, but it seems superficial at best. I can't imagine, for instance, an important item that only some people could get based on choices they make during a quest. Sincerely, Magic One.
Okay. Well, I don't think they'll make any as drastic as that, as you said, an important item which only you can only get by making specific purposes or by making specific choices, because that's I don't think that's fair. But I think it would mostly affect things from a lore standpoint and not much farther than that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they've always done in the past. And like they said, they were very careful to say with the Battle of Lumbridge, those of you siding with Ceridoman will have no net gain, and those of you siding with Zamorak won't be punished.
Okay.
So there's that. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I think in this week's quest they were able to throw all the cards up and let the players do whatever the hell they wanted, is because it was the last quest in the series, and they're not coming back to the storyline. So it doesn't matter who's in charge, doesn't matter what the players did, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know
if they're going to put in exclusive items like that in a quest, but they probably will just continue to put in exclusives for finishing a quest or, you know, rewards like that. I don't know, for specific choices that you make. Like, it just doesn't seem like that kind of a game. And MMOs aren't really like that to begin with. MMOs aren't really like that, though. They're just based on quests that everyone can do, not just, you know, different branching ones. It would be cool if they did, like, branching quests where if you have a certain quest, it will the next one in the series will turn out its different way just because of choices made on a previous one.
Didn't they do something with that?
That was the Arm and Phoenix Gangs.
Well, yeah, I guess that's one.
Way back in the olden days.
Yeah, but that's only a minor one. I think they did one before that was sort of like that, but that is a good example.
Yeah, and if we're to see anything like that, it'll just be to that extent. And I think even in the modern era, asking people to choose a gang and then needing to find a partner of the opposite gang to complete that quest, I think that's a bit more than they're asking players to do at this point. Because if you look at all the quests,
people in the Phoenix gang can go back and do it again.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that my clan has. People come in and ask for help with heroes quests sometimes. So
okay, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
All right. I don't think there's anything else I want to say on this. Just that if they ever did bring something like this in, it would be interesting, and you wouldn't need a way to change your branch of the quest that you're on. Because if you look at things that they did, like the God Emissaries, you can easily change which one you support. So I would expect something like that to come in as well. And while it would be nice to have changes that actually make an impact, I don't think you can ask Jagex to do that because of the way they've designed all their quests up to date.
That'd be too much. If you had one that was like for four choices, then they'd have to make 4 different versions of the quest, and then it just continues.
Exactly. And plus, also they've designed quests nowadays to be rather singular focused, meaning that you don't get to do quests with your friends anymore. So with that being in here as well, it's more of a singular type game. And from that, you can also tell it's going to be a singular type as to how they're focusing on the quest. A single branch.
Yeah. I mean, small choices at the end of each one, that's okay. It just changes a minor part in the next one, but...
Yeah, but don't go to a point where you've let me kill the damn king and end up with a drunken dwarf instead.
I why did they do that?
We
don't need to get into this again. We already spent an hour in it. Let's move on.
On a quest that doesn't make sense. On a quest that doesn't make sense.
Tech news. You know what else?
Speaking of not making sense, look at what happened up here. Like, there's
the, potential
a sensor malfunction. Like, how did that happen? Like, oh my goodness.
What happened?
Well, there's a potential iPhone 5S motion sensor malfunction. Like, that doesn't make sense either. Let's talk about that some more.
All right, so there's
a new M7.
I can't
believe I actually had to persuade Shane to talk about Apple. Like, really?
There's an M7 motion coprocessor in the new iPhone. And basically this means that the new iPhones are supposed to have a better way of detecting motion. They can detect how fast you're moving, how far you've been moving, which is really good for people who like to make fitness applications. But there's a slight problem. There's a discrepancy in the way these two iPhones are measuring things. First things first, the accelerometers are off. So it means that you're not going to be able to, of course, track proper acceleration, therefore not going to be able to track distance. Also, the level in iOS 7 is off. So on a completely level surface, it was showing an offset of about 2 to 3 degrees, which is quite substantial if you're trying to use your new iPhone as a level. And also the compass is off, which is perhaps the most dangerous. There is a discrepancy of many degrees in this example. They show the iPhone 5 has the correct direction of 322 degrees, while the iPhone 5S is pointed at 287 degrees. So let's just say if you're lost and you are attempting to use your iPhone as your sensor, you might be going in the wrong direction.
Interesting.
It would suck if then you did what opposite of what your iPhone says to do and then finds out it's right all along. It'd be just terrible.
Just setting my iPhone 5 on my desk, it's giving me -1 degree.
Which
my
is
desk,
probably right.
I assume is not perfectly level, so that's right.
Yeah, mine's
so
not
I can
level.
Vouch
I got mine
that
on
the
stilts.
iPhone 5 one is accurate. What, Shane?
I got my desk on stilts, so it's got a 3 degree tilt.
Okay,
what?
Shane. Nothing at all.
So, just be careful if you're attempting to use the iPhone's new motion coprocessor in setting things up.
Yeah.
Yep, -1 degree.
Okay.
My desk is fine.
Okay. Twitter files for $1 billion IPO.
Yeah, so they mentioned they were going to be doing this, but now they actually did.
What if it's going to turn out like the Facebook one?
I don't think so. The page isn't loading for me, Shane.
Oops. Well, basically...
Shane, did you putting this in the show notes, RSVNB, the site? Did it go down?
No.
Oh, there it is. Never mind.
We're safe. So it's going to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange with the symbol TWTR, so Twitter. The company is not profitable, so it should be interesting to see what people think of this, because they are hoping to raise $1 billion. So the question is, can Twitter make the case that they are worth that much in terms of advertising and other potential useful metrics that they can provide?
So they're losing money every month.
Correct.
Interesting.
So, I mean, considering this compared to Facebook, if Twitter does a similar thing where it's overvalued, and then they
because you want to make it low, you want to start it low, and then at the end of the day, it's really high.
Yep.
But Facebook did the opposite.
And the same thing if they do what Facebook did, then perhaps that's saying something else for
web companies are going to do.
Yeah, what the general consensus is of modern day technology companies online. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just playing with my level right now.
Good for you, Shane.
This is one of my new favorite features of iOS 7.
Ooh, look at the pretty level.
Yeah, it's nice. All right. Next up in tech news. End of the Silk Road. So the FBI was able to launch a takedown based on information that was given and busted one of the biggest drug black markets on the internet. So
did they use Craigslist?
Cully, you
want to
tell us? Cully, you want to tell us about this one?
Well, I just like saw this earlier today, and I thought this is pretty interesting how the FBI actually took down something that was actually worthwhile to take down this time. So they took down this guy that looks suspiciously like Robert Pattinson, and he apparently has been dealing with. He looks a lot like him, Shane. Trust me. and seized a bunch of
Bitcoins
and saying that it was actually earning a lot of money, like through illicit means. So this is probably a good thing.
Well, yeah, the value of the Bitcoins was between $3.5 and $4 million. And, you know, once again, this is the problem of Bitcoins, I think, is that people don't exactly know how to deal with these things yet. And they could be used for illegal purposes as they were here. But it looks like the FBI made the right decision in this case, rather than tiptoeing around like some of the other online things that have been the case.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when it comes to drugs, you really got to take such a stand.
Yeah, I find it interesting. This hidden site has been seized. What does that mean? That's the notice that was put up.
Well, it means that it's now hidden, but it's been seized. You know, like a drug seizure. So it's...
Yeah, but in reality, what does it mean, Shane?
What do you mean?
I don't understand what it means by this hidden site.
Oh, well, basically
it's
means
now hidden,
that they...
basically.
Yeah, that's all it means.
How do you hide a website?
Is that they... Well, basically what they would do in this case is they would just remove the content from it and then put this generic page up. So, that's how I would hide a website. But of course, they could just take the website off the internet completely if they wanted to be more inconspicuous about the entire thing. So, which might be a better thing to do, anyways.
Right. Okay.
All right. So, safe to say that
maybe they left it up for publicity, maybe. that they did something right. I mean, it's always possible. There's been a lot of criticism towards the FBI lately, and the government, U.S. government, and, you know, I say.
Or they could be using it to show as a trophy.
Yeah, that they did something right, and therefore they're showing off.
All right, skill of the month.
Very good. So the skill of the month for October is crafting. Interesting that we got a crafting update in this month. I'm got a crafting skill of the month.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see who's going to craft out the win, eh? I'm sorry.
All right.
I had to.
Currently, Soul Lightning. Okay, you go ahead. You do this.
So, Soul Lightning is... So, Soul Lightning is in first with 605 experience gained, and One Stone Pwn is in second with 405,000 experience gained. Poison Nova is in third with 241, and then it tapers on down to 68,000 experience and such. So, yeah. And we are 2 days in. So yeah, it's so still really anyone's not much to say game. So far. And I see that Brian hasn't gotten any experience yet. Brian sucks.
Earth sucks.
Yeah, but I've been busy.
Actually, 8 people haven't gotten any experience yet.
Come on, you 7 guys. Come on. You can do better than that.
You're in there.
I can't talk to myself. I'm not crazy.
Oh, you sometimes are.
You can talk to yourself. You just don't want to. Because you're afraid of what's
going on. It's America. I can do anything I want.
America.
The September skill of the month was won by Flash, who pulled out an impressive win over Huzzley. So congratulations, Flash, for taking the win in the last 10 days. Flash.
I'm sure he feels simply divine.
Okay.
I'm slain.
My bad puns are killing him.
This is almost like that one skill of the month that I was really the winner of, isn't it, Shane? The underdog came back and won. Although I barely won.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Look at my signature. It proves it. You did not win that farming skill of the month, Shane. You might think you did, but if you can use the logic of I won because I said I won, then I can use it too.
All right, so congratulations, Flash, for winning last month's skill of the month. Very good job with divination. So I'm happy about that. All right. Now it's time to read the Informer Roundup for the month. Basically, if you haven't heard of anything that we've been doing on the last month in Informer, you can head over to informer.rsbnb.com and find Super September.
Oi, laddie, we'll be sure to do that, won't we?
A super month filled with about information about the RuneScape music of RuneScape 3. Super September, restricted skilling, historical accuracy in the new RS website, and finally a discussion about bonds.
Wait, hold on. The RuneScape music of RuneScape.
Yes.
Did Shane just forget how to speak?
I'm wondering that too.
But no, that's what you said. Remember?
Well, it's just been a very confusing week. Anyways.
I guess so. Anyhow, good articles out there. Lots of different ones. As an editor for Informer, I always advocate reading them.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, so pick of the week.
Pick of the week. So this is my pick of the week. It is a band called Dream Theater, who have been around for quite a long time. They're one of my favorites, and I know they're one of Reed's favorites as well. They just came out with an favorite. They just came out with a new. Shut up, Reed. They just came out with a new album last week, and it's really neat. It's they're basically a progressive metal band, and they came out with a new drummer recently, and this is his first work that contributing to the songwriting. So it's pretty neat. I've had a few listen throughs now, and there's some songs on there that are really cool. So if you like that sort of thing, I'd definitely check it out.
They're very good.
Give it a try. They're really good. Like, they're really talented musically. Do you have anything to add, Reed? I know you like them a lot as well.
All of their songs are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Reed listened to new stuff.
Well, Shane, I'll let you listen to something very, very new, actually. You should watch that.
All right, I'll do that.
Which one?
Let the listeners listen to that too, really quick. They need just a few seconds of it.
Which song do you think is your favorite from the album, Reed?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I think mine is The Bigger Picture. It just sounds really good. I don't know. A lot of people are praising Illumination Theory, but I don't think it's one of their best 22-minute songs. So. I'd like to point out that that's not from the new Dream Theater album.
No, it's not.
However, no. That is a very funny song.
What does Shane? Please enlighten us? What does the fox say?
I do not know.
Will we ever know?
I do not remember.
I want to know.
You're my guardian angel.
Hiding
all
in the
right,
woods.
So, what have we been doing?
Shane.
What?
If you meet a friendly horse, will you communicate with him in moors?
How will you speak to that horse?
All right. So, what have we been doing?
Torturing Shane with the song.
Earth first, please. Thank you.
Beach before beauty, Reed. There you go.
Thanks. What have I been doing this week? You go first, Patrick. I need to remember what I've been doing. This week has been quite a forgettable tale for me, I suppose.
Are you a drunken dwarf too?
I like to think that I'm quite magical. I can teleport around and do stuff, right?
Magical?
Magical.
Would you say you're a wizard?
Oh, dear God.
I'm a what?
Okay.
I'm a what?
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm not a wizard, I'm just Harry.
I would like to inform the audience that you guys
I'm just a wizard?
You should
I'm not a wizard,
explain
I'm
what you're doing.
Okay, what have I actually been doing? Well, when I've not been going to work, I've been reading the first book of the Game of Thrones, finally, actually, and it's coming along quite well.
I thought you were going to say Twilight.
Twilight. You know me too well, Shane. But not at all, because I wouldn't read it.
You don't know me.
Well, it's also been the first game of the season for the Vancouver Canucks Hockey Club tonight, and I'm not sure how they're doing. I should probably go check on that after the show's done. Other than
they're
that...
Losing.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Shan. Other than that, I don't know what else I've been doing. So I guess I'll have to let everyone down and let one of these two fine gentlemen go next.
5-0, 12:30 left in the third.
Thanks, what? Shane.
Anyways, what have I been up to this week? Primarily just on RS.
Bastard.
Got,
it's 1-2.
I just got.
Shh.
I just got 82.
Zero?
Shh.
You lied.
Please. Continue.
I got. I got 82 divination.
Hmm.
So that's a new skill that was released back in August, already level 82, so I'm quite proud of that. Right now I'm working towards level 90 thieving, so I can do the ports, player-owned ports. So once I get 90, I'll be starting up player-owned ports, which is a year late, but better late than never.
I'm
I can do it all at once.
Hey, I'm
already starting
that, Shane.
You
have 99 herb lore.
I know.
So would you say that you once you get thieving. Level 90 thieving, you'll be taken back to port?
Yes. Yes.
I don't get it. Please explain.
All right. And, of course, I did the quest, the very confusing quest. And because of the quest, I got level 91 mining. So that's what I've been up to.
So now it's my turn, I guess. I did most of the quest and refused to finish it because I'm not finishing it until it gets fixed. I drove home from university yesterday, a nice 5-hour drive. And I actually tried out iTunes Radio and it was very surprising. Very good. And it also played some songs that were surprising that it would play.
Like what?
Well, I mean, I found Star Trekking Across the Universe in the Star Trek Enterprise under Captain Kirk. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. Life, Jim, but not as we know
it. Is that an actual song?
Yes, it is. Klingons off the starboard bow, starboard bow. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. He's dead, Jim. He's dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim.
This isn't okay, anything like Leonard Nimoy's Ballad of Bilbo Baggins, is it?
Come in peace. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. Say that again?
All right. Is there anything else?
This isn't. That wasn't anything like Leonard Nimoy's The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins, is it?
I don't think so. What else can I say that will bother Shane? but no, I think that's it. We've probably kept you guys... How long is this show going to be, Shane?
Too long.
Just shy of 2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, we're at 1 hour 54 right now.
Do you think you're going to go through and cut out some of the strangeness?
Perhaps.
You can't do that because that's just...
You should offer it in two versions, I think.
It just adds to the charm.
One that's... or at least put a warning that we're...
Weird. I think they know
we're weird. Well, yeah, but this was really long weird.
Oh, it wasn't that weird when you guys were rambling on for an hour about the quest. I'm sure it'll be fine.
No, yeah, we haven't had a long show in ages. We can do one of these.
Yeah.
I'll let you decide that, oh gracious overlord.
Yes, master.
I, for one, welcome our new editing overlords.
Yeah, the last one that was an hour 50 was the divination episode.
King Shane the First. If he makes that the title, I'm... Damn it. Why did you mention it, Reed?
Wait, what?
He's going to make King Shane the First the title.
Wait, what just happened? Are we still in the show?
Of course we're still in the show. We haven't said goodbye yet.
Okay, I thought Shane just asked for show titles. What's going on?
Oh, we'll
I don't know, but Yeah, we've done lots of good stuff this week. Thank you for listening, everybody, and sorry once again.
If you made it this far, you're a trooper, and you should feel proud.
See you,
everyone. See you later, everyone.